Tereo Ererangi o Te Mānia. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
It's time now for Green Thumbs in Canterbury, out and about with the Canterbury Horticultural Society.
Good morning again, Amy.
It just feels like we were here like barely a second ago.
I know. Well, that's the way the year's going. Good heavens. We're 30th of March. Easter's what, next weekend?
Yes.
Oh, my heavens. Looming. It's the first marker in the year, isn't it, almost?
It is.
Yeah. Well, Amy, the weather's been funny, hasn't it? Been moaning about it.
Well, I certainly have, because my chilies have not done as well as I would have liked, and I've been blaming the lack of sunlight hours, but it might not have been the sunlight hours at fault. It might have been other aspects, judging from the stats you have.
I had a look at the stats this morning in the paper, and it's always interesting to look at them, but the rainfall, to date this month, we've had 43.6 millimetres against an average of 17.
That's quite a difference.
So that is three times as much rain as we would normally. So you're not wrong when you say we've had a lot of rain.
Mm-hmm.
To year to date, we've had 205 millimetres against an average of 100 millimetres.
So over
twice as much rain as we would normally have had.
And so we're not wrong when we say it feels like it's been a lot wetter.
We're right. So everyone, you're all quite right. Now, sunshine, because that's the thing that we all miss the most, I think. To date this month, we've had 82.3 hours against an average of 168.
Wow.
So if you're feeling sunlight deprived, you're right.
You are.
And year to date doesn't look so very bad. 473.6 hours against 490.
Okay.
So we have had some sun previously. But this month is turning to be a lot of rain and not much sun.
Yeah. So that does align with how we've been all feeling, that it is just winter's coming on early.
Oh, absolutely. The trees started turning in the middle of February.
I know. It was quite shocking to see, actually.
It is. And I look around now and all the leaves falling everywhere. So it is... And it's climate change, and we have to, I guess, learn to cope with it.
Yep.
But everyone, and you have just said to me, how slow the ripening has been for things.
It has just felt like there's been
grinding along.
I know. And the more rain won't be helping either, because it's a bit wetter at this time of year, or starting to be, but not like that, as you can tell by the stats.
That's exactly right.
And so the plants are struggling.
Yeah. Well, I talked to a friend who was down from Auckland the other day, and he's a great chili grower. He grows everything. If he doesn't have chilies in his food, he can't eat it. And he said his chili ripening is 5 weeks behind.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah. And yet, we've grown the best tomatoes we've ever grown in our lives.
Show off.
I know. Well, I said to Peter, don't think this is going to happen every year, dear. It's a fluke this year.
Yeah, my tomatoes have been – the plants themselves don't look too bad, actually. But they've not been – I realised it wasn't the fruit ripening, it was the lack of fruit setting.
Oh,
so
really?
I obviously haven't had enough pollinators through, which is interesting.
Yes.
And they're in the greenhouse. And I have had the windows and the doors open, but there's clearly not enough to attract them in.
Well, you have to talk to Tom. Because Tom will tell you a paintbrush – will do the job for you.
Well, I'm thinking I might need to next year if it's the same kind of setup.
That's
now, for the listeners who aren't sure what Ray is referring to, last show we reviewed books, and one of them was the Greenhouse book by Tom Brown. And so,
yes, that's part of his little job, that's talk.
Yep.
So, okay, well, I will just boast about one tomato that we picked, and it was 610 grams.
Show off.
Took us 4 days, 4 salads to eat it all. So big and so ripe.
Oh,
so anyway, but apart from that, my beans, which you normally can't give them away by the end of summer because we're sick to death of them, only had one crop, but they're just starting to flower again.
Oh, okay. So you think you'll get another set?
I'm hoping so.
Fingers crossed.
Well, the bees are still buzzing around. Mm-hmm. And I think beans get, these are runner beans, scarlet runners. The purple beans have been going like mad.
That's good.
Yeah, but anyway.
Well, I've had
mine.
I have had obviously a flop crop with the tomatoes this year. Although my chilies at home, like there's a difference between the chilies at home and the chilies at the farm. So the chilies at home, I only have it's four or five plants, and one of them, the yellow banana. I forget exactly what it is, but it's a not so hot one. That's slow growing, but I have about 30 fruit on it that are just starting to nicely ripen, looking really good. And I've got a couple of others that have some fruit on them. So my chilies have done okay. My tomatoes were a flop. I have a ridiculous crop of self-seeded spring onions.
I have seen them.
It looks like grass.
They look like grass. They are wonderful.
I hope you want some because you're getting some on the weekend.
Oh, I'd love some because my ones I've planted, I'm getting through them. So
I will bring you bring everybody a pot round on the weekend.
Oh, well, that's the way it all happens, isn't it?
Yep. So those were all self-seeded by the birds, basically, picking them out from there. Because I let the last batch go to seed because the big seed heads are fantastic for the bees.
They just love. We've had lots of little finches with a red head through, and they're eating, at the moment, they're eating all the cosmos settle seeds.
Yep.
And they're amazing. They come through and tug away at the head of the flower to get the seeds out.
It's quite so fascinating. Vigorous.
It's actually a nice time of year to just sit for a wee while and look out and see just who's visiting the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Quite different, isn't it? Tell you one other thing that we had Peter said the most amazing crop of this year are apple cucumbers.
Oh, okay.
And they're really hard to grow.
Yeah.
But this year, one plant that looked like it was going to die suddenly revived, and now it's grown on like big, long. It's got five or six.
I got one apple cucumber this year. singular apple cucumber.
I've talked to lots and lots and lots of people. And I mean, it's obviously, we're all going to be finding new ways of gardening, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or if people listen to Alan Jolliffe, when he was talking to us, you know, we're just going to learn to cope with perhaps a shorter growing season or whatever.
And my strawberries did pretty well as well.
Oh, how nice.
When I could get to them, when the dogs didn't get to them first, the dogs have developed a taste for the strawberries.
Yeah. So, well, at least they won't poison them. So that's
no,
the
this is true. I'm not too bothered by that.
So other things to be done, now that we've boasted about our what are they called? Flops and
top crops and flop crops.
Yeah, top crops and flop crops, yes. What else should we be doing? We're thinking now. We have to start thinking autumn, winter now.
We do, yes. Yeah. So there's it's both a good and a bad time in the garden. You don't get the same flush of growth like you do in spring and summer. You don't get the same satisfaction of this abundance of produce.
Yes.
But now is a great time to start looking at planting
for
next spring, summer, giving plants the best possible start for spring and summer.
What are you talking about? Trays, putting them on trays and putting them in your...
A bit of both. So things like fruit trees, now's a good time to plant fruit trees.
Yes, yes.
There are some plants, however, that are great if you get them started now, overwinter them in either inside on the bookshelf, on the windowsill, or if you've got a small greenhouse of some variety, overwinter them in there. Just make sure they don't get frost on them, obviously.
Yes.
So that's one idea. And then, of course, there's bulbs.
Of course. And you want to talk about daffodils, do you?
I do. I do want to talk about daffodils. I always want to talk about daffodils. So now is the time. Now's the time to plant your spring bulbs, basically.
Well, starting to. I like to plant mine a wee bit later.
Well, it depends what type of bulbs. So daffodils a little bit later. Well, there are ones that are very early. So there's actually ones you can plant from, you know, summer right the way through. But if you want to have some of your earlier bulbs, I mean, obviously your snowdrops and your...
Galanthus ones and things.
My
bluebells are the only
freesias and
my freesias are already up to my knees about.
Mm. Yeah, so you want to be planting those now if you haven't already. Whereas some of the other ones like your hyacinths, your tulips, your daffodils.
Yeah.
You know, you can plant them now.
Well, you can stagger them so that you actually get a continuous flowering for a while.
Exactly.
Well, last year, last spring, I hadn't had a spring in my new garden, and I had thousands of bluebells, whole garden just full of bluebells, two daffodils. So I thought I'd better do a bit of a balancing act this year and put in some daffodils. So I've ordered a whole lot of daffodils.
Right.
Daffodil bulbs. And ordered some more just plain tulip bulbs.
Yes.
So that I'll get, hopefully, when I can find some space to put them in. I have to wait for things to die down a bit, I think.
Yeah.
So I'll have a much more mixed, because I like that look of the mixed. Yeah. I'll probably need to get some snowdrop or snowflakes, aren't they?
It depends which ones you want. So the Galanthus ones are
The tiny, because I probably want the taller ones.
You want the bigger ones. Or snowbells or something. They also sometimes get called. So bells is now's a good time to be buying, to be planting. They grow just as well in pots as they do in the ground.
Oh, you won't lose them if you grow them in pots.
Exactly. And if you do plant them in the ground and you're going to want to dig them up again, don't forget you can get bulb trays, basically.
Or those nets. Sieves. Yeah, that's right. You can plant them in.
Yeah, well, there's the plastic sieves as well, basically.
That's right.
And so if you need to be able to lift them back out again.
I thought about doing that, then I think about it.
I never get around to doing
this. I know. It's exactly right. But however, it would be a good idea if that's what you want. Right. I might even have a try going, if I went and bought them.
They get one step closer to going in the garden.
One closer getting in them. That's right. Exactly. Well, I don't normally trump my bulbs until late April and May because I like to, when it's still miserable and cold, I don't like, too many things growing in the garden. I like them to come in real spring, about September, October.
And that's when September is when the bulk of the daffodil shows
are on, aren't they?
It happen in the South Island. So running through from like the beginning of September through to the beginning of October. This year's CHS show that's in conjunction with the Botanical Expo is the last weekend. I think it's the 28th and 29th of September.
Okay, so it's quite late.
So it's quite late. So planting them a wee bit later is not a bad idea, particularly for those varieties that are a bit later.
Well, with daffodils, I think just bung a daffodil and it'll grow.
Pretty much.
Well, they've been basically bred to be early, middle, and late season.
Some of them do have a tendency to prefer being earlier. Some prefer later because they need that little bit longer period with the heat to encourage it to come out. The Poeticus ones, the pheasant's eyes, the ones that are flat with the ring in the middle.
But the good old-fashioned ones, they don't care, do they, so much?
Not so much, no. You get some very highly cultivated ones that do. But also the bulbs were set the year before.
Yes.
So to some degree it doesn't matter so much what you do this year with them. The flower was always going to come up to some extent.
Yes.
Provided you remember to water them and put
and
them
in. And do all that.
Yeah.
And don't let them go mouldy like a net.
Oh, no,
moldy.
Don't do that.
But look, every single tulip bulb that went mouldy, came up.
Well, that's good.
And flowered.
Oh, well, I'm pleased.
Yeah, it was a fluke.
Yeah, it's a complete fluke. I have not had a lot of luck when I've ended up with mould on any of my bulbs. I've just had to biff them because they have not.
Well, when they go, they're soft and mushy, there's not much hope.
Yeah,
well, it's bulb time. But before that, there's still quite a lot of
growth.
I've still got dahlias that are popping up.
Yep.
Late dahlias. So, it's a long time before I'm going to be having any room to plant too much in my garden, in my flower beds anyway.
Well, I mean, the winter is a good time. Heading into autumn winter is when you can be putting in bedding plants as well.
So
There's
something colourful winter.
Yeah, like you've got dianthus.
And you've got, I've got verbena. I'm putting in some of those lovely creeping verbena-y things.
Violas, pansies, polyanthus, primulas.
And the ones that my very favourite starts with P.
Primulas?
I love primulas.
Yeah, primulas are lovely. So you'll start to see those hitting the shops as well.
Yeah,
and they're just a lovely splash of colour.
Yes, because looking at it, just a dead. I mean, I like to clear my whole, all my perennials right away by the middle of June. I like them gone.
Yeah.
And all the mulching in and everything. But I would like to have some colour in the garden.
Yeah. And they do. Provide a nice way to put something across the top of the soil as well.
Yes.
Because you can mulch a bed, which is going dormant over winter, you can plant a green cover crop.
Yes.
As well, if you'd like to pack some nutrients back into it, don't forget to make sure you mow it or chop it down before it goes to seed.
Yes, otherwise you will have 7 years of seeding.
You will indeed, but green crops are another great way to put stuff back. Or you can put your bedding plants in.
Yes.
And then you've got a splash of colour and you've got some attraction to the
bees. I like to save lots of leaves because, you know, Christchurch has leaves.
Mm-hmm.
It's not short of that product in late autumn. And I quite like to clear all my bed out and put down sheep pellets, chicken pellets, all that sort of stuff, and then cover the whole lot with leaves.
Nice.
To mulch them down.
Yep.
And then, of course, all those things develop nicely underneath the mulch, and you've got a lovely nutrient-rich garden for your plants to come up.
Yep. And do you dig it through before? No, you just leave it.
Just leave it the way it is. Nice. It rots right down.
Nice. So what are you looking forward to in the coming year, right?
Growing. I'm looking forward to replanting some of my dahlia, new ones.
Mm-hmm.
I put some of them in the wrong place.
Ah, right.
But then, of course, part of that problem was that I didn't know how big the cornflowers were going to grow.
Ah.
I thought cornflowers only grew, 20 centimetres, well, but mine grew as tall as me.
That was foolish.
Well, it doesn't say that they grow to 1 to 2 metres tall.
Some varieties absolutely do.
Well, they certainly did.
Where did you get the seeds from?
I just bought the plants.
Oh.
From Mitotena or something.
See, if you'd seen the wildflower meadow out at the farm, the chilli farm, you would have seen cornflowers waving.
Well, that's where they were. And the pink ones were the strongest.
Yes.
But yes, and they were lovely, and I put them in total. If they'd been at the back of the garden, they'd have been wonderful.
Yes.
Unfortunately, they grew enormous, like trees, in the front of the garden.
Which is not even remotely where you wanted them.
No, it wasn't. So there's going to be a bit of reorganisation from that point of view. So that's the sort of thing I'm going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I seem to have things popping up. I grew a crazy crop of potatoes that I just opened up my potato pot, and there were some agrias that had shot out lots of, had done a lot of chitting, because really it was salad potato time and I forgot about them. So I thought, I'm going to plant them down that west end of the garden that I hadn't really done anything with. So I dug a couple of furrows, chopped them up into bits and pieces and planted them and got a huge leafy top crop.
Nice.
Well, we dug one up the other day and I got 5 potatoes.
Oh.
So it was worth putting in a quarter of a potato. It was pretty good produce.
That's not bad.
No. And what it's done is it's opened up the soil a bit.
Good.
So that'll be
because they will have broken it down a bit.
Because it had just been waste. It had been just, when we went there, it was just covered in a whole lot of rubbish that somebody just used it as a rubbish pile. So so we got rid of a lot of that and then was just sitting there and I thought, oh, maybe I could. Yeah, and it's worked out quite well. Yeah, yes. It's good. So what are you looking forward to?
Oh, I'm looking forward to finally getting a French drain dug down the side of the house because with the increase in rainfall, our backyard has basically been a bog.
Oh, you've had a water meadow, haven't you?
We've had a water meadow and it's killing off the soil because, of course, it's waterlogged all the time.
Oh, it's going mold?
It is a wee bit, or certainly algae.
Yeah.
In patches, it's not very nice.
No.
So that's my big project.
Oh, that's the problem. So it's the drainage. Have you got, like us, clay underneath? Have you?
It's a mix, but we're going to contract someone to come and do it. It's enough. It's not just a little one. It's going to be like
You're talking about a French drain. Is that like a swale or what?
So basically they'll dig down like a good depth. They'll put one of those filter socks in to stop stuff going into it, and then it gets covered back up essentially with stones and gravel.
Yep.
So it's kind of a swell, and it's going to drain into the stormwater drain.
Oh, yes.
On the property.
On the property. Yeah. Now, well, we had to do that in our last house. We're flooding a lot, and so we dug out up down to nearly 2 meters.
Yeah.
And we filled up with big boulders, small things, blah 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 blah, and it certainly helped.
Yeah.
It's a lot of hard work.
Oh, yes, but it needs to be done.
Yes, otherwise you're just living in a bog, aren't you?
Yeah, it's not getting any better. We are going to lose that bit of the garden for planting in, but I can still put pots on it.
Of course you can. That's so right.
That'll be fine.
There's a solution for everything.
Exactly.
There's not a problem. There's always a solution.
So that's my big project for the coming months.
Oh, well, good. So I'll keep posting on that one.
Keep
see where we're going. I think that, generally summer has been slow, mm-hmm. but I've been quite happy with my crops.
That's good.
You know, my beans are frozen quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
My tomatoes are frozen an enormous number. In fact, I'm going to have to start preserving some because I have no more freezer space.
How terrible.
So, but as I said, it's the first year. It may well be the last year. You can't ever never count on it, can you? But
no, that's...
So there we are. Anyway, we've still got some things to talk about.
We do. So what's coming up at the CHS?
Oh.
Garden Life is coming up on Tuesday the 7th at 6 p.m.
Christina
and Wednesday
and David Barwick,
the 8th of April, so just after Easter. So our CHS Orchards and Schools Coordinator, Christina Sargent, is going to be talking about edible weeds. And David Barwick, who's one of the curators of the Christchurch Botanic Gardens, he's going to be talking about perennials and propagation.
And you will have all had your fill of Easter eggs by then.
Now, I'm not sure if Bot-Tots is running today. They must be just about into school holidays.
Yes.
But Bot-Tots happens Mondays 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. term time only.
Well, you're almost too late. Not quite.
No, we're not too late yet. There's one more one Tea more. In My Garden series trips.
The Hohenetahi, which is the star of them.
It really is. Friday the 10th of April, garden visit to Hohenetahi. I highly recommend going there if you have not ever been to Hohenetahi. It is 100% a thing you should go and do. Mm. Bonsai Basics on the 11th of April, so you can make yourself...
How are you going with bonsais?
Oh, no, less said the better. Less said the better.
Yes, well, my poor little one. I knew, having talked to the bonsai ladies a while ago, that I had a bit of a disease problem. But we thought we'd overcome it. But it just decided very quickly, over 1 week, it
sometimes
just turned up
its
toes.
Yeah, and sometimes
it was my 30-year-old Mugu pine.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Just
It was just done?
It just did it, yes.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
Well, you could come start a new one. Listeners, the look I just got.
Well, it's just another chore, and I've got enough chores in my garden.
Oh, right.
No, I think we do get ourselves too enthusiastic.
Oh, Amy, absolutely.
Don't we? And we end up doing only some things properly. We've really got to try and...
Yep, this is why I'm not buying any more houseplants this year.
Very good.
That's
I'll keep
goal.
You to that. Okay, botanical watercolours.
Yes. Sunday the 12th.
Yes.
Busy weekend that weekend.
It is indeed.
All About Flowers on the 30th of April, last Thursday of the month. That's the CHS group for growing, picking and arranging flowers.
And if you have a look on the website, they will tell you what you're going to be doing.
Yes, the theme for that month.
They give you the theme. And if you have to bring anything, you can bring them along. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we've got Bulbs and Containers that same day, Thursday the 30th of April, in the evening.
Yes.
And that's with Dave Adams, bulb daffodil expert.
Yes.
And this workshop usually sells out, so you come away with a proper pot full of wonderful blooms.
And a nice decorative thing to put by your front door.
And then the Margaret Watling Biennial Floral Demonstration on the 2nd of May in conjunction with the National Chrysanthemum Show on the 2nd and 3rd of May.
That's right.
And that's in the gardens of the ILAC Centre.
That's so right. That look on the website. And book in there. Yep.
That promises to be an excellent event. And then there's a ton more workshops and whatnot coming up, but we'll let you check those out online.
Yes, or we can tell you about them anyway later on. Can't we?
Well, we will. We will, don't worry. But finally, make sure you join us again on Monday the 13th of April. We're going to be talking with Paul McKenzie from ReFarm.
Yes, very
which
interesting.
Which is a mushroom farm out in Templeton, which we went and visited.
Yes,
so
absolutely. And talk to him there, and you can buy his beautiful dried mushrooms and everything.
And mushroom kits.
Yes, mushroom kits and everything. So we'll talk to him and you can find out all about that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So that's a wrap from us for this fortnight. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
We will
Until
indeed.
Then, happy gardening.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us on Green Thumbs today.
Make sure to get involved with the Canterbury Horticulture Society in the lovely kiosk in the beautiful Christchurch Botanic Gardens.
The CHS offers many interesting workshops, courses and talks.
Check out what's coming up on Facebook and at chsgardens.co.nz.
And find past episodes on plains.org.nz and subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Let's get our hands dirty.